Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobbo Hobgood. Well, Hobbo, it's going to be an unusual show tonight because we've just learned moments ago that we have no phone lines. So this is a first in five seasons on the air. Although we did lose power once, but it came back. Remember that one show?
Yeah, so it's the three of us. We may even have to ask our producer-engineer a question or two, so we can't even get call-ins from our listeners out there. So
much less our featured guests. And our guest tonight, we had a terrific lineup to help us break down this weekend's games and so forth and prepare for next week. We had Ahmad Hawkins lined up, Chris Horn to talk about recruiting, and Dr. David Nedif to discuss injuries with us. And Ahmad Hawkins is a terrific guest because he played both sides of the ball as a wide receiver and a D-back. He really knows the game, and he kept playing in the Arena League and so forth, and really understands competition maybe as well as anybody out there. But anyhow, I think Wahoo fans are still a little ticked off after Saturday night's nail-biting loss that for a few seconds there, when the ball was in the air, I think everybody had their fingers crossed. But alas, Alec Vezenalek from Richmond, Virginia, good old St. Christopher's, he gave it the old college try, and the ball sailed a little wide right. I really don't fault Alec one bit. I think the team needed to get a little bit closer and put him in a little bit better field position and maybe center the ball in the middle of the field. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Anyhow, I thought Coach London's offense played a lot better. I thought the QB, the O-line, the running backs and tight ends played a lot better. I think the wide receivers, as has been the case this season, have struggled. I thought UVA reduced penalties significantly, and they really avoided turnovers. Virginia was plus three in the turnover column, which is usually a major defining stat.
Key stat in most games. If you're on the plus side of the turnover thing, unless you're really overwhelmed from a
talent
personnel standpoint, yeah, you're going to win the football game.
But the Wahoo defense, although at times looked pretty darn solid and reliable, they gave up some of the most head-scratching big plays. That there was that little screen pass early in the game, and the guy just went right down the sideline and was tackled by Anthony Harris, who is being blocked by three players, and he still managed to make the tackle. Maryland got the ball in the end zone pretty quickly. Everybody is.
And there are a lot of things too. I mean, you know, Virginia certainly had a lot of red zone opportunities, and they settled for field goals too many times without getting touchdowns. And in particular, after they got the break where the punt hit the backside of a Maryland player and they take over, that was a situation where if they can punch it in for a touchdown there, they probably seal the deal. Again, had to settle for a field goal. And then, of course, Maryland in the fourth quarter, I can't remember what, 5-6 minutes when they had the third and 21, throw into Virginia double coverage, but the Maryland wide receiver, give him credit, he's able to go up and catch the football.
Well, we're going to come back to that play a little bit. I think we should talk about some interesting things. Virginia dominated the clock. Usually when you are a ball controlled team, which Virginia is striving to become, and you win the time of possession something like 38 minutes to 22, that's a decided advantage. And I'm not sure I can remember the last time Virginia in any year controlled the clock for that much time and still lost. Virginia also had 29 first downs. That's extraordinary. 29 first downs is kicking some blank. Rushing yardage, I thought Parks and Kalik Shepard really played well. I think Watford had a couple of runs, didn't he? And, you know, Alec Vezenalek had a good punting day, not a spectacular punting day. He had a good day as a place kicker until the last kick, which he had enough leg, it just wasn't quite straight enough.
You know what, my coach before I started playing, Bill Gibson, he said he used to get tired of people coming up to him after big games and telling him, man, your kids really played well. Too bad you lost. He said what he was hoping for one year was to say, have somebody come up to him and say, man, you guys really stink. I can't believe you keep winning.
Yeah.
So I mean.
You're talking about Hoot Gibson.
Yeah. It's nice to win the first downs and time of possession and turnovers. But as we discussed off air, the only stat that matters is 27-26. and Maryland had the advantage there.
Well, you know, it's all about the philosophy that Mike London has always wanted to instill in his football team, and that's tough, hard-nosed football, ball control, a good running game, and a, you know, a chance to run some play action and burn the defense. And I can see where it's going this year. The offense is coming around. I think David Watford's coming around. And I've said twice today to a number of folks that I now begin to see what Aaron Brooks commented about before the season started and last season, where he said that David Watford deserved his turn. I can now see the double threat strength of what Watford can become. However, if the offensive coordinator is going to call three runs up the middle to the tailback and takes the ball out of the hands out of the quarterback, I become livid because they lost yardage. They didn't get the field goal kicker closer to the uprights, and hence Virginia lost. And I'm telling you, if there's anybody I'm hacked off about, it's the offensive coordinator, Steve Fairchild. He just he's not getting it done.
Yeah. It's, you know, I think that's a coach's loss. And, you know, it starts with Mike London. You know, I'm a big Mike London fan. I think he's a great guy, a great coach, and he's building a terrific program. But, I mean, you know, basically they're at the 27-yard line, what, 2nd and 8 with a minute to go. And that's when they tried those two runs, one to Parks, and then Watford carried the other one on 2nd and 3rd down when, you know, admittedly they had no timeouts, and what they did do, they forced Maryland to use the other two timeouts, so basically the game's over once the kick is done, either made or missed. But still, I mean,
hey, hold on. I don't have a problem with them burning up the clock because you're on the other team's field. What I have a problem with is play selection.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm
for
just saying.
For crying out loud, don't take the hands out of your hot quarterback. He was having his best game as a starter.
Well, and the beauty of that is with a minute to go, on 2nd down at least, you can even use the middle of the field if you can, you know, again, Jake McGee over the middle, he's made, what, 8, 9, 10 catches during the game. I don't know how many. He had a terrific game, but get him 5 or 6 yards in the middle of the field, and if you need to spike the football, you spike the football.
And by the way, Jake had 8 catches for 114 yards and a touchdown.
All right, I wish he had 9. He needed one more catch for about 5 or 6 yards over the middle of the field or out on the sideline.
They worked Jake so hard that he was hobbled at the end of the game.
Well,
they ran the horse.
Or maybe the Swanson kid played, and I think there was some doubt as to whether or not he was going to play.
He played fine.
Yeah,
he made
throw him the ball. Throw somebody the ball.
He also made some nice blocks. You know, we've got about a minute before we go to our first break. I want to remind our listeners and our key guests. Unfortunately, the phone lines are down. We're not sure what happened here in the studio. Rumors of someone spilling some corn chowder or something, and or a Dr. Pepper. But anyhow, we're going to make do tonight. And I'm sorry you're going to be subjected to Habbo versus Maloney, but. And Syl's going to jump in here every now and then to save us from strangling each other. But
no, I'm not.
We want to thank Ahmad Hawkins for being able to schedule with us tonight, and we will bring him back because Ahmad is a terrific guest. Also, Chris Horn, who handles recruiting news for us from the Saber, he will not be able to call in, which is unfortunate because there is some. We're starting to get some more news on the recruiting front, and then lastly, Dr. David Nedif of Ortho Virginia, we won't be able to discuss the injury and rehab issues, and there is some new injury news, and we will try to give that to you, although we certainly can't describe how these guys would rehabilitate.
You know, little did we know that we didn't need an orthopedic doctor, we needed a phone technician.
Yes. Well, normally Alan Fisher handles that here at Clear Channel. All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back, Habbo and I are going to break down the game a little bit further, and we're going to look forward a little bit to Duke and get Chris Sill's thoughts as well. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.